Matt Lodi, Northeast Ohio Sports Insider. Talk a little Tribe here on 1590 WAKR. Matt, how you doing, pal?
Hey, good afternoon, Sam. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for taking a few minutes today. Matt, give me your early look at the Cleveland Indians. Five games in, they're in action this afternoon. What have you seen that you've really liked out of this club? And let's just go with, say, the first 4 to 5 innings of each game that you've seen.
Well, I do think the starting pitching is going to be the obvious strong point of this team this year. I don't think there's any question that Corey Kluber, given a couple of runs every night, is going to be tough to beat. I think Danny Salazar, Carlos Carrasco, Trevor Bauer, you know, those guys, and whoever ends up in that fifth role, whether it be Josh Tomlin, Cody Anderson, TJ House, I think the starting pitching is going to be very, very good. I think the reason why lately you've seen more and more people jump on this bandwagon is for that simple fact. I think they feel that, you know, starting pitching is going to be good. I think people know that if this team can produce 3 or 4 runs a night, they're going to be tough to beat.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some speed in this lineup we haven't seen before. I think Francisco Lindor brings that. I think a healthy season from Yan Gomes is going to be important. I think Jason Kipnis will continue to play at the all-star level he always has. And I think the other big thing, of course, is, you know, can this team produce enough in the 3 outfield positions? Right now it looks like Tyler Naquin might be the guy in center field with mm-hmm. all the issues they've had between Brantley's injury and then, of course, the suspension for Abraham Almonte. I think that right now that's a work in progress, but I think if there's anything that you can draw on and be happy about, it's the way that the starting pitching looks, with, 3-4 weeks before the start of the regular season.
Matt, I was going to ask you about Tyler Naquin next, and I guess I would be okay if we break camp and he's going to be my starter. Obviously, he's probably going to go through some hiccups and maybe a little bit of nerves, but, man, he's got that beautiful swing. The ball, you know, it jumps off that bat, and he's a student of the game. I really like this kid. What are your thoughts on him taking that next step or two to the big leagues and showing what he can do?
You know, he's shown it so far. I mean, he knows that, you know, all eyes are on him right now because, really, I don't want to say this in a negative way, but this team doesn't have a ton of options. I mean, you know, I know Austin Jackson was a player that they thought about bringing in. I don't think they could come together as far as money was concerned. And also the fact that if you're Austin Jackson, you know you're only coming here for a short period of time before Michael Brantley comes back. So, you know, realistically, you know you're probably not going to play more than maybe on a 2-month full-time basis, and then Brantley will hopefully be back. But I like what he's shown so far. He's shown a quiet confidence. He's 7-15 so far this spring, had a couple of hits yesterday. And his defense, I don't think, is going to be anything to write home about early on, but I think it's going to get better as he continues to play in that position more and more. And let's be honest, you know this, Sam. I mean, you need 4 outfielders in mm-hmm. Major League Baseball. You can't sit there and pretend that, okay, every single night we're going to be able to throw the same 3 guys out there. And the one thing that Terry Francona teams, the first 3 seasons he's been in this organization, has provided is a lot of depth at various positions. There's always that extra infielder on the roster. The guys like Avilas, the guys like Rayburn, those guys have always kind of been hanging around, if you will,
mm-hmm.
you know, in case of an injury or in case of a late inning at bat. And what I like about Naquin being in that position is even when Michael Brantley comes back, you know, Brantley, I don't want to rush him back. I've said this before. I don't want him having to play 7 days a week the minute he comes back off the injury list. I want them to be able to kind of, what would you say, kind of ease him in a little bit. And I think if Naquin gets off to, and he's not going to come in and probably hit 315 or anything like that, but if he can come in and at least continue to hold up his end of the bargain, you know, 250, 260, you know, play a decent defense in center field, not make a lot of mistakes, I think that he's going to get an opportunity to play every couple days, and I think that it's only going to benefit this team down the road and moving forward.
Matt Lodi is our guest, talking a little Tribe today, Northeast Ohio Sports Insiders here on 1590 WAKR. Matt, of the guys that we picked up, and I'm talking about Rajay Davis and Juan Uribe, Mike Napoli, who do you think is going to lend the most to us early, and then who might be the steady pickup as we move through the year?
Well, I think I'm going to go with the same guy, and I think it's Mike Napoli, because I think of the fact that he's going to play just about every day, whether it's at first base or DH. I think it's going to take a lot of pressure off Carlos Santana to have to do too much out in playing first base. I think that you saw last year that playing a new position full-time, Santana just wasn't his normal self at the plate. I think it hurt him a lot. I think it hurt the organization a lot. He just didn't have that same power. And I think what they were hoping with bringing a guy like Mike in is that first of all, a veteran presence, which the team did kind of lose with Avilas and Rayburn being gone. Also, the fact that, again, he can provide some stick. I mean, he did hit his first home run, I believe it was yesterday in spring training. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, this is what they're hoping they're going to get from him, something like 250, 260, maybe 20 to 25, and maybe 80 to 90 runs batted in. I know those are the same type of numbers they were hoping to get out of Brandon Moss last year, and it certainly didn't work out. But they go back to the well with Annapolis, seeing what he did in the later second half of the season when he got traded from Boston to Texas, and seeing how well he kind of took to that team and helping them make a playoff run, and also the fact that he was able to hit the ball pretty well in Texas. They kind of hope he can emulate that up here in Cleveland. I think he's excited. He's got a lot to prove, and I think he's going to be a good pickup. I just think down the road that it's going to not only help the Indians in terms of a power standpoint and a steady first base, but I think it's also going to help Carlos Santana, which is, you know, a guy that if you look at him, Sam, I know a lot of people are concerned, what do they do with this guy if he has another tough season? Mm-hmm. There's always been these rumors. There were rumors last year about them trading him to some team around the All-Star break or around the trade deadline, and, you know, the Indians didn't pull the trigger. There's been rumors about, you know, he doesn't get along real well with some of the coaching staff and everything. I don't know necessarily that there's a long-term plan with Carlos Santana. He's got a very, very lucrative deal in terms of a very club-friendly deal, and I think if it's the Indians' benefit, they'd want to keep him here because not only can he, when he gets hot, he's really hot, but at the same time, he's not going to cost them a fortune. So I think that they hope that Napoli will provide almost a variety of aspects coming into this organization and being able to play first base, and as I said also, being able to kind of help Carlos Santana, if you will, on the peripheral with not having him out there every single day worrying about defense.
Matt, as you know, being around this team a lot the last several years, I don't know what it is, but we just do not get off to a quick start. You can throw the cliches all over the place. You don't win a pennant then. You certainly can lose one then, a division, this, that, and the other. What is it going to take? I'm not saying to start 20-4, but just hang around 500, maybe a game or two over. Does this team have it in them with, I would say, what's a pretty difficult schedule early on in the season?
Yeah, they're going to play in the month of April, Sam. They're going to play 14 games on the road and 9 games at home. Mm. So they are certainly going to start with a more road-heavy schedule, which I'm not so necessarily concerned about because we obviously know, even though it's a beautiful day outside here today in Northeast Ohio, we know how the weather goes here. We know that in a matter of a day, it can go from 70 to 30. And, you know, usually, at least the last couple of years here in Northeast Ohio, we've been in the, you know, 30s and 40s mm-hmm. in the month of April. We've certainly seen it. So in a weird way, I don't necessarily have a problem with them starting on the road, more so than here at Progressive Field. And they do have some interesting teams coming in that first month of the season. Boston, obviously, in the opening week. They play Minnesota, which is a team that was vastly improved last year. It really came out of nowhere. They get an interesting home series, interleague series with the New York Mets, who, of course, were in the World Series a year ago. So it's not necessarily going to be easy, but I go back to what we started the conversation about, and that is it's all going to me, come down to the starting pitching. If the starting pitching can kind of keep this team in games, it can kind of grind out some runs here and there, I think it'll give them an opportunity to win these games. I mean, 23 games, I'd love to come out of the month of April being somewhere like, hey, I'll take 11-12,
okay,
you know, based on how this team has really gotten behind the eight ball. But, you know, on the devil's advocate of that, if you look back a couple years ago, and what ended up being Manny Acta's second to last year, they started 17-7
mm-hmm.
In the first month, I think, and a little bit into May, and they still didn't make the postseason. So, you know, the thing is, you don't need to come out red hot out of the gate. It's those teams that usually end up struggling by the time the season's over because they just can't maintain it. But what you obviously hope for is that they can come out, be around 500, hope that a team in the American League Central Division doesn't get off to some ridiculously hot start like Kansas City or Detroit, and you just kind of hang around, like you said, and hopefully once you get into May, June, July, and August, that's when you really get hot. And as I said before, though, as I keep saying, I think it's all going to come down to, can the starting pitching be as good as people think it's going to be, and can this offense grind out about, say, 4 runs a game, which is, I think, what it's going to take in order to win games in the month of April and into May early on.
Matt, let's just throw this out here for the heck of it. If the Indians would break camp this weekend, who would be our leadoff guy?
Well, that's a great question. You know, there was obviously some indications a while back early in spring training that Carlos Santana could be that guy. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's more that was more of a kind of, I don't want to say playful thought, but it certainly was a thought of, you know, why not? I mean, he was a guy who gets on base. He was a guy who, you know, has an opportunity to drive in runs, and he walks a lot, and you see his on-base percentage. But I think it's probably going to be one of three guys. I think Jason Kipnis is still going to be have the opportunity, if you will, to be in that role because he played in that role in years past. I think that Francisco Lindor could be another interesting guy that gets up there because, again, the fact that he showed so much maturity last year and was able to get on base so much, especially middle of the year, I think that's another guy. I think a guy that we talked about a little while ago, if he breaks camp as the starter, I think Taylor Naquin could be a guy that ends up at some point being given the opportunity to hit leadoff. And I think when he does take the field as a utility guy, I think it could be Jose Ramirez. But out of all those guys that we mentioned, I'd have to say as we break camp or if we were breaking camp today, I say Kipnis would have to be the guy just because of his history there. I don't necessarily know if I want to see him be there at that spot because I really like him being a little bit further down the lineup with his power. But, you know, this is an Indians team that, as I said, they're not going to hit, you know, five home runs a night. This isn't the 2000 team of, you know, Juan Gonzalez and Roberto Alomar and, you know, Jim Thome and guys like that. This is going to be a team that's going to have to grind out some runs. And I think it's imperative that this team has a good on-base percentage, that they steal bases, that sometimes they're going to play small ball with the bunts and everything like that. And I like Kipnis' ability, as he's shown in the past, to get on base and then steal a base or two. So, you know, again, it's a long way to go. We still got 3 weeks before this thing all gets underway for real. But Kipnis is a guy you're going to have to look for. And as I said, if you're going to break camp with Naquin out in center field, I think that could be another option also.
Talking Tribe with Matt Lodi, Northeast Ohio Sports Insider, 1590 WAKR. I'm going to throw a guy at you on the mound and a guy in the field. Tell me who you think has to show the most improvement, number one, for themselves, and number two, to help this team possibly get a wild card or get into the playoffs. On the mound, I'm going Trevor Bauer. In the field, I'm going Lonnie Chisenhall. Go ahead and run with that.
Well, Bauer, I think more is expected out of Trevor Bauer, to be perfectly honest, because of what they had to give up to get him. Because, of course, where he was in the draft a couple of years ago when Arizona took him third overall. You know, Lonnie Chisenhall is a nice reclamation project. He's a nice story. He's an Indians guy through and through. He's been here for a while. You know, the Indians fans have become accustomed to him up and down. I think he ended the year certainly on going up last year, the way that he was able to play out in right field, and I expect him to be the starter as we break camp this year out in right field. But to me, Sam, when you look at Trevor Bauer, the way things ended last year, the fact that he was in the bullpen late in the season and almost basically when the season ended, there is certainly some concern. And I know that this guy, he's so hard on himself, he's so analytical, that when he gets down, he gets very down. I mean, we've seen it. And I know everybody around us has seen it too, because when he has a bad inning, it manifests itself. I mean, this isn't a kid who goes out there, and again, I hate to say it's like a little league thing, but you know, he throws a couple bad pitches, gives up a run or two, or gives up a walk or two, and you just kind of see the wheels coming off a little bit. And I like Trevor. I think he's a good guy. I think he tries to connect with the fans. I think he's, you know, he's kind of funny on social media and everything like that. But to me, he's got some maturing to do. And I think that they continue to hope that working with him in the offseason, as Mickey Callaway and that pitching staff has continued to do, they hope that he can kind of get over, if you will, some of these early issues in his career. And I think that if they can do that he's going to mature into being a pretty good pitcher. We've seen that he could strike out guys. There's no question about it. But at the same time that he strikes out guys, he tends to give up a lot of walks. So here's hoping that he can, you know, kind of make that transition and get the job done, if you will, early on this season.